McNeil and Parkin Show.
Today's Friday.
On 670 The Score.
Today's our normal Friday, so it's supposed to be Feel Good Fast Friday. And
thank Jah for Feel Good Fast Friday, Parkins.
That works for me. We'll take you into the weekend here, McNeil and Parkins, on The Score. Ahead of Bears-Packers, kind of a big game around these parts.
Yes, this is good. This is going to be a fun day. It's a tailgate today until 6 o'clock or right thereabouts, and a lot of football today. Week 15 starts in dramatic fashion last night. I thought that was a very entertaining football game.
I agree.
And let me give you some accolades here. Mr. Guru of Defense, picking apart the finest nose tackles in the AFC. Look at you go. You say it here and it comes out there.
Listen, I mean,
your man was draped all over Phillip Rivers in the first half.
Yeah, Chris Jones is a hell of a football player. I loved getting to know him a little bit when he got drafted high in the second round in KC. Real good dude, fun-loving, just like spirit of the locker room type guy. And
a beast. Boy, does he get off the ball and move people around. He is so powerful.
And fast.
Thanks for the turn-on. I don't expect those sort of things. Just watching that guy, because I got a guy on their team too, but yeah. I decided to split my evening between 55 and 95, and boy, was he a treat.
Well, he's a monster, and you know, it's funny, like, in the Akeem Hicks conversation, we say, if Akeem Hicks can't make the Pro Bowl this year, when can he make it? Well, it's not all about AFC, NFC anymore, right? It's the drafting of these teams.
Mm-hmm.
And just with how spread out the game is and how many passing downs there are some unbelievably talented interior defensive linemen in terms of rushing the quarterback.
No doubt. And that, like, that your guy Jones is one of them.
He's awesome.
He had the Chargers in freakout mode the entire night. What did they have? Four or five false start penalties.
Yeah.
Very flaggy game. Walt Anderson's crew a little too busy, a little too over-officious, if you ask me. Some of those defensive calls against the defensive holding or PI.
Oh, the pass interference
on Sorensen, 49, that was a dreadful call.
Yeah.
That was terrible.
I couldn't, and I mean, I know, like, slow motion and one of the arms doesn't go up. I get what Pereira was saying and that how it could look to the official like that's pass interference, but that's nothing more than a game-deciding call. You know, that's the game.
Yeah,
that penalty's not called. Chiefs win. It's called and they lose. Now, that was a fascinating game, and Rivers converting on the fourth and long, and Rivers was great. And they come back from down two scores, right down 14 with 5 minutes to go.
Right.
So got to give them all the credit in the world. And then go for the win.
They did go for the win. You've been waiting a long time for somebody to do that in a game-winning situation. You've had a couple of them this year. You were 0-2 going into last night.
Yep.
But I guess something worth having is worth waiting for, right?
That's right.
Anthony Lynn, your table is ready, sir.
You're on the road. The win means more for you. You're trailing them in the division.
It's Patrick Mahomes on the other side, too. That weighs into the decision. That's a case where I absolutely understood why he did what he did.
All right.
I do. If it's a handful of bunch of other guys, maybe I don't. Maybe I kick the point after and be content to go into overtime. But against the Chiefs' offense, you're taking a hell of a risk because if you lose the coin toss, your offense may not sniff the ball again.
Right, drive right down the field and score. And if you're playing to, because of where you are in the standings, you needed a win to have a shot at avoiding a wild card. Like, a tie is no good for the Chargers. Mm-hmm. A tie does nothing for them. So if you lose, okay. You know, you lose, you go to the playoffs as the wild card, you get Melvin Gordon back, and you're still a really good team. But now you bring that win. You have the win head-to-head against the Chiefs.
Yep.
You've got a shot at the one seed in the AFC playoffs.
Yeah, great drama here in the home stretch of the regular season. I don't know how you pick any team right now in either conference with a high degree of confidence. It's such a coin flip in there's six or seven teams you could see winning the Super Bowl right now, aren't there?
What do we know? Like, what do we know about the NFL right now in terms of, like, how this will end? Whether we're talking about teams that'll play in the Super Bowl, teams that'll play in conference Sunday, or even awards. Like, we're in week 15 of the NFL season, and I find the year to be completely wide open, except for Offensive Rookie of the Year is Saquon Barkley.
Yes, that is. I still think Patrick Mahomes has distanced himself from the other candidates for MVP.
I mean, okay, that if he gets the 5 seed, I think it's different than getting the 1 seed. Breeze could easily be the 1 seed.
Right. In a pretty good division, too.
Yeah. And in a year where, like, you know, it shouldn't come into play, but he's never won an MVP. So they could look at it as a lifetime achievement award of sorts, which the voters are not supposed to do. And I think, Shep, can you check this for me? I meant to before the show. I think NFL MVP is just one person, one vote, right? Is it a ballot where you give someone like a second, third,
remember.
Fourth, fifth? Because
I thought it was.
Okay, see, I thought for but some I reason for that one for it sure. wasn't, and maybe the AP one isn't, but like it's just – so it's a really tough choice. Philip Rivers last night. Philip Rivers is having the best season of his career, and if they end up being the 1 seed in the AFC and he just wins that game on the road at Arrowhead on national TV.
Right.
And he's done it with some injuries on offense. Like, it's a tough race right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, they have gone to Pittsburgh and won. Yep. And now they've gone to Arrowhead and they've won. They have survived a couple weeks without one of the NFL's most productive running backs. Anthony Lynn is a candidate for Coach of the Year.
No question.
And Matt Nagy's a good candidate for Coach of the Year, and I don't dismiss the idea of Andy Reid still winning Coach of the Year.
Nor Sean Payton. I think all of those guys have an argument. I think Pete Carroll has done a hell of a job doing old-school throwback football. You've been talking about that all year with them.
Yes, I have been. I was not aware until you made me aware of it of how efficient Russell Wilson has been. He's not been outstanding, but he's been mistake-free for the most part. He's only thrown one pick this year or two picks.
I think it's
he had one pick going into the Monday nighter.
Rodgers has one pick. I think Russell Wilson's at six.
Six picks was it?
But it was 29 touchdowns.
Right.
He had eight straight.
That's right. Rodgers with the one.
Yeah, Rodgers with the one. Wilson with six. But he had eight straight games coming into that Monday night game where he had two or more touchdowns.
They found an identity. They didn't have one at the beginning of the season. They were a team you easily could have seen coming apart early and not finding a way to put it back together again when they were told we want a quieter team.
Right.
Pipe down about your social justice, fellas. Really? That's not exactly a great tone setter to kick off a season when you've gotten rid of some of the more popular guys in your locker room, like Richard Sherman.
Yeah, not to mention better players in your locker room. Yeah, and they've been a remarkable story. And yeah, I mean, if you want to talk about Super Bowl, I would say, let's see, NFC, Saints, Rams, Bears.
Saints, Rams, Bears are the three favorites, yes.
Right.
But there are some other, there are some people who told us yesterday. Hub told us a couple days ago he still thinks the Vikings might have a say in this thing. Was it Hub who said that? Someone told us that.
Yeah, Charch said he thinks they'll make it to the playoffs as the 6th seed. Charch said he still thinks
somebody has to. The NFC, as much as it might like to this year, much as we might be better off with only 5, there are going to be 6 playoff teams. Someone's going to get that final slot.
The Cowboys' defense is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
They, since Amari Cooper's there, they feel better about their offense, and they've beat the Saints. So Cowboys fans think that they could make a run.
Yeah.
Seahawks fans think they can make a run.
As the season has evolved, the teams that are running the ball effectively seemingly have a much better shot. Teams that are more defensive-oriented and more conservative in their offensive approach are winning football games that are meaningful.
I'd be shocked if Dallas won because of Dak, personally, but...
Yeah, he doesn't take very good care of the football.
No, but I think... Certainly Cowboys fans think they can win. And then AFC... Chargers, Chiefs, Patriots all certainly are making an argument.
I would have said 3 weeks ago the Steelers, but they've shown me bupkis these last few weeks.
They're in a little bit of a free fall. I don't think the Ravens can win, even though they have a really good defense and a really good running game. I'd be surprised if Lamar Jackson's winning 3 road games.
I kind of agree.
To get to a Super Bowl. But so that's 8 teams right now that
we're
going to
sleep
on
the Dolphins?
Yeah, the Dolphins aren't winning it. Dolphins aren't winning anyway.
But yeah, the Texans, they win 9 in a row and we don't even speak about them.
The Texans, I think they can make an argument. Deshaun Watson's a gamer and that defense is awesome. So they'll have one home playoff game.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, man. So I think we got 8 teams that have a Super Bowl argument. I don't know who the MVP is. I don't know who Defensive Rookie of the Year is. I think it's Derwin James, but there's a couple of other guys in the mix.
Roquan Smith is making a case.
Bradley Chubb, Darius Leonard on the Colts having an awesome season. There's, you know, so that's, I think Derwin James is going to win, but I don't, Comeback Player of the Year,
JJ.
About Andrew Luck.
It's another good choice.
What about Deshaun Watson?
That's another good choice.
It's a wide open season.
So we wrap this up by saying it's been a great NFL season. It's been a nice departure from last year when everything was about everything other than football.
Yeah, and that's the thing. This year it's been great, not just because of the points, but because of the parody and the national TV games have been good.
The suspense down the stretch.
Yeah, it's been an incredible season. Nick Kwiatkowski from the Bears will join us at 2 o'clock. It's McNeil and Parkins on the Score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
This is the game. Shotgun snap. Rivers rolls to the right, throws to the end zone. Caught! It's good! It's good! Mike Williams with the grab! Chargers lead 29-28. There was no one. The closest Chief was in Kansas City, Kansas.
What'd you think of the call to go for two at the end?
We're going for the win. We ain't going for the tie or go to overtime. We're going for the win, win or lose. Coach said we're going for the win when we score. And like I said, we was ready to go back out there for defense if we had to stop them. So.
Thursday night, Arrowhead, you beat the Chiefs. Congrats, man.
Thank you, man.
Anthony Lynn, he went for two. This hour on the Score brought to you by Continental Motors. Searching for a used car, search ContinentalMotors.com for the Continental difference.
Several of our texters point out, and I agree with them, the questionable call, the PI in the end zone near the end, likely a make good on the missed helmet-to-helmet call, which I hate to think that professional sports leagues do those sort of things, but how can you not? That was exactly my reaction. It was a blatant helmet-to-helmet on Rivers. They didn't call it. And then the next play, it's a very questionable PI, and they call it.
You're right. And when you say, like, sports leagues do it, like, I don't believe that there's some sort of, like,
somebody's in the earpiece of Walt Anderson.
Yeah, I don't believe that, but I do believe that they're human beings,
right,
and
right.
They, like, oh, God, we missed one. Like, they look out of the corner of their eye, and they see the replay or something like that on a jumbotron,
right,
you know.
Yeah, I wasn't trying to imply that Roger was on the horn with them. Yeah,
yeah.
Hey, you gotta clue that one. Go ahead. Anything close in the end zone, throw it.
Well, you know, I love the tinfoil hat theory. So if that is what you felt, like, I'd be here to entertain it. But yeah, no, I'm with you. Like, I think that comes in, and I heard Bernsey earlier be like, "You can't make that call." Then refs will go to training camps and they'll talk to the media. Like, their mandate, and they're all graded, is, if it's a penalty in minute one of a game, it's a penalty in minute 59 of a game. They are not supposed to take into account game situation.
I agree with that.
Of course, I always
have felt that way. You got to be consistent. What's wrong in the beginning is wrong in the end. It's unfortunate some games have to come down to a ticky-tack call. But if you feel it's a foul, throw the damn flag.
Well, and their livelihood is dependent on it. Whether
exactly.
or not they get playoff assignments, Super Bowl assignments, that's more money in their pocket, higher grades for back judges to move up to be side judges mm-hmm. to one day wear the white hat.
Yeah.
I mean,
well, as we discuss with who's going to the Super Bowl and how it's such a mystery right now in both the NFC and the AFC, I feel similarly about who's going to be wearing the white hat first Sunday in Atlanta, because there are several guys who are first year eligible who Craig Rolstad is one of them, number four. It's his first year where he's eligible. He says so disinterestedly.
Was that appropriately dismissive?
Great. It's not even 2 o'clock and he's talking about refs.
Who's our ref again for Bears Packers that was angry?
We got the angry, constipated John Hussey on Sunday.
It.
You will think of this show the first time there's a penalty Sunday, listeners, you say, man, Mac told me about this guy. He does look pissed at the world. John Hussey.
Okay.
Yeah, he is so frustrated looking. It's like the top lip has been sewn to his gum line, or he just did a massive rail before he came out of his office.
The perpetual scowl.
Yeah.
He's like grinding his teeth.
Yeah. A lot of people suggest he looks like John Lackey's big brother.
Oh, that's
John
not
Lackey
bad.
Had the big teeth going.
Yeah, and the
punch me face,
angry disposition.
Oh, yeah, I wouldn't have messed with him. I mean, there's a lot of guys I wouldn't mess with who are half my age and professional athletes, but he'd be very high on the list.
I would hope most.
Yeah, most.
Yeah, but among baseball players,
certainly,
yeah, he's.
I wouldn't be afraid of Kyle Hendricks, even though he knows karate
from his 7 years old on. Yeah, very intimidating black belt. Yeah, last night that decision, it was fun, and I've seen Len Casper going through it on Twitter. You know I love, especially if you've got a good quarterback, right? You're moving the ball down the field. That's a high-scoring game. and where they were in the standings, you're saying, and they bled the clock. It wasn't like there were 90 seconds left.
Correct.
Like in that, which one was it? There was the Jaguars-Titans game, the game in London, where the guy went for it.
And Panthers-Lions.
Panthers-Lions.
Yes, Matthew Stafford would have had a minute and a half with which to work if they would have kicked the point.
Yeah, that changes things entirely because you bring...
It does.
For me, it does
well,
anyway.
Well, I'm going to trust my defense against Matt Stafford a lot more confidently than I would against the kid in Kansas City.
No question. I guess what I'm saying, though, is in Anthony Lynn's situation last night, it truly was, we get 2 yards, we win.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas in the Lions-Panther situation, it was, we get 2 yards, we take the lead.
Right, correct. That's right.
There's a huge difference in the upside.
Somebody should have told the San Diego play-by-play man.
L.A. play-by-play.
The L.A. guys keep doing that.
It'll
always
happen for
do
years.
That. I know they're Bolts. They're always Chargers, San Diego Chargers to me. He says, and they take the lead, 29-20. That's pretty much the game. That's a win.
Yeah, that was, for all intents and purposes, the win last
There were
night.
4 seconds remaining, but yeah.
How about the... Not necessarily a shot at Chris Berman, but almost going Berman-wise and giving a location of a nearby city. You couldn't think of anything more creative than Kansas City, Kansas.
Yeah.
It's got to be something else.
You would think.
Did not play out well.
You would think that there would be something else. But hey, in that moment, you go for two. You're just, all of a sudden you're broadcasting. You're like, they're going to replay this on NFL Network. They're going to replay this everywhere. I got to punctuate this. This is going to be a defining moment.
Yeah.
And he goes Berman. We've all been there. We've all impersonated someone else. Imitation, Shep. Highest form of flattery. By the way, did you hear our guy last night?
Shep?
Oh, yeah.
I did not. I was home by the time he assumed Total Space Command.
I went out to pick up a little food and bring it home, so I heard his open. He was rallying the troop for it's a changing of the guard. Bears v. Packers.
I had a feeling that might be the direction he'd take after our discussion.
Yeah, I think it is.
He had last word yesterday on Rodgers.
And yes. You guys have been – how have you felt about like what Mitch said on Wednesday? Just to summarize for people that might have missed it.
The Trubisky?
Yes.
I felt it was not good.
Nobody calls me that no more.
I wish he would relax. That's how I felt about it.
Because my interpretation of it, and I kind of said this last night, was – tired of hearing anything positive about the Packers, and I don't think that comes from Trubisky. I don't think it comes from like one player specifically in the locker room. I think that comes from the top. I think that's a mentality that's being. It's not so much like, oh my god, I hate everything about them, and like playing up the fandom side of the rivalry as much as that's a team that's whipped our ass for 25 years or so, and it's time to change that.
Well, we're gonna talk to Nick Kwiatkowski coming up. Like he's been here for. Quite a few last place finishes.
Nick Kwiatkowski.
And he was
thanks, Foxy.
Amazing.
Sounds like when Buffon used to say my name.
Shep, your open is fantastic, by the way. Your show open of all the mispronunciations. I'm a big fan.
It's been a while since I've heard it. I need to hear it.
We can give it a spin.
All right, yeah, let's play it at 5:30.
Friday hits, yeah.
Yeah. Danny's like, no,
we don't have to do that.
We're not going to do that
Danny's
at all.
Like, that wasn't on my list today.
But Kwiatkowski, he was in that meeting too. Like, I want to know what Nagy's message really was.
It's
like
a good angle, yeah.
They put the plays on the board. All I know is they put the plays on the board from that first game, and the message, like, some of it was finish. But I wonder how much of it's anti-Packer or like, pro-Bear in terms of the message.
It's a good thing if organizationally they're sick of the Packers kicking their butts. That's a good thing. They should be sick of it. But for the quarterback to denounce his Favre fandom
silly
is really not necessary.
Nobody calls me that no more.
I agree. I agree. Completely unnecessary.
I'm done with that nickname.
But it's Bears-Packers week, and we got a Bear coming on. Nick Kwiatkowski joins us next on The Score.
Nick Kwiatkowski.
Nip Kwiatkowski.